Yeshua, I love you and I want to love you. Yeshua, my bridegroom. Shalom lekulam. It's Aaron Hood here, the voice of my beloved podcast. I'm glad to be back with you. It's been a minute. It's been a hot minute since I've been back with y'all. And I want to share something that I shared over our last Unleavened Bread event titled Yigdal Adonai. And Yigdal Adonai, it comes from a verse. Our theme verse for this Unleavened Bread was Malachi 1:11. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our Lord's name is to be made great. And I just, you know, so many of us think about the verse in Psalm 113 that says, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And as I was meditating on that, because that's where my mind automatically went, to praise, you know, it's something that we are massively, we are a part of, and we have worship watches, and we put albums together. Many of y'all have heard a lot of the music and stuff coming out of here. Praise is just such a big aspect and part of what we do here at Love and Purity. And so I was wanting to kind of feel out that connection. And I was able to do that to some extent. And these are some of the findings that I found. So Malachi 1:11, I'm going to read that again. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our Lord's name is to be made great. And as I was thinking about what it means to make God's name great, what does that look like? And I came up with this, and I feel like I feel like the Holy Spirit guided my my research into His Word and spoke to me that the idea of praise is making God's name great. That's what praise is. Praise is making God's name great, and in many aspects, right? When you help the widows and the orphans, that's praise. That's praising His name in the things that we do. Praise is not just lifting up a voice in song. It's not just quoting scripture, but every aspect of our life that honors God is bringing Him praise. And so I wanted to just look through a couple verses here that kind of go along with this idea. Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due to His name and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness from a place of uprightness in our heart, a sanctity accomplished by the blood of Christ in our life, is the place from where we're able to worship God, right? Where we're able to do these things that give God glory. So we're wanting to give the Lord the glory, do His name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29:2. So I feel like there is this connection between worship and living a holy life for the Lord, that the things that we do, it goes beyond the walls of our church, worship and praise. It's just such a rich definition of praise that I feel like is consistent with Scripture. In Psalm 48, verse 1, a psalm of the sons of Korah, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain. This is Psalm David, or Psalm of the sons of Korah, and it's about the greatness of God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our Lord's name is to be made great. It's to be made great. And I just really want to emphasize that, and I'm going to read Psalm 145. This is a psalm the Jewish people will pray as a part of their prayers. They'll recite this psalm three times a day in the Amidah prayer. And it begins with a praise of David, a praise of David. And then I want you just to listen to how many times it says extol, great, unsearchable, declare, mighty acts, glorious splendor, majesty. Just listen to the constant glorifying of God's attributes, His name, and then consider that this is praise. He said this is a praise of David. So Psalm 145, verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. That's from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, right? The same idea here. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Verse 15, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Just repetitive, almost to ad nauseum, right? I mean, he's going over and over the greatness of our God, and he's pulling in, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He preserves those who love him. He's going to destroy the wicked. It's all connected to the greatness of God. This praise is speaking the praise of the Lord. He ends in verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And here he is, just he's done this whole chapter of creating this imagery of the greatness and the glory of God. And so, Yigdal Adonai, that's the heading of this, it's made great. It's translated made great in Malachi in the end of the verse there in 1:11. And it's hard to translate Yigdal Adonai. It's kind of like the bigness of God, right? We don't always connect great with big. But in the Hebrew language, gadol, it's the same word that they use. Greatness, it's a great, it's big, and it's also majesty. And so great and big, it's connected in this verse here. So we're just talking about the bigness of God. And I think that, you know, it's such an important element, an important part of who the God is as God, that we acknowledge the bigness, the majesty. It's a way that I've always loved to relate to the Lord as we are but dust and ashes, right? Or there's this bride and bridegroom paradigm, but there's also this acknowledging it's his kingdom. He is the king of all flesh, and we are but dust and ashes. You know, we'll go from dust and return to dust. And yet he is mindful of us, right? It just brings so much more value. It just brings so much more to the idea that he loves us, right? I mean, if we were equals, then the love, it would be more of a, like a respect back and forth. But he loves us. He considers us. He's mindful of our prayers. He knows the hairs on our head. And yet we're so small. We're so small in comparison to who he is and the greatness of his plan. And yet he considers us, or even the lilies of the field, right? And the birds, the sparrows, right? The Lord knows them all, and he cares for us. So this idea of worshiping the Lord, being connected to making his name great, or acknowledging the greatness of God, is powerful. And also, the making God's name great is praise. And that being more than just worship. We have here in Psalm 96, verse 1, I want to read the whole chapter. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, and declare his glory among the nations. His wonders among all peoples, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the peoples rejoice. Let the heavens rejoice. Excuse me. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. So there's two things in this chapter that I wanted to point out. One, more related than the other. But in Psalm 96, verse 9, it says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." This word of worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness is making the connection that a holy life, a life glorifying to God, a life that is submitted to his teachings, the Torah, the law of God, that holds that in high regard and is intent on breaking up the fallow ground of our heart and pursuing holiness is the ultimate form of worship. It is the most labor intensive. It is the most worthwhile form of worship, into where it's not a service of the lips. It's not a lip service, right? We know that the Lord does not regard lip service, but that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? We can attempt to pull the wool over the eyes of those around us, but we cannot fool the Lord God Almighty, who knows our hearts and minds. And so this verse here is saying, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, is saying, sing his praises while being in a right standing before God. Sing his praises when your heart is made right, and when you have submitted yourself to him, to a place where he is sanctifying you, ever changing you from glory to glory. So that's how I feel there's a connection there, that the primary purpose of worship is to lift up the name of God, and I believe living a life sanctified to God is the highest form of worship. It's the highest form of worship, living a life sanctified to God. There's also a verse here in the end of the chapter I find quite fascinating, because we have many people who are living their truth. You know, we've heard about that, you know, in media, you know, well, what's your truth? That's not my truth. He's living by his truth. And I think the scriptures, God saw that coming. And this verse here in Psalm 96, verse 13 says, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the earth with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. His truth. He's not going to judge each one according to their truth. He's judging them according to his own truth. So let us be found living by his truth and living in that beauty of holiness according to his acknowledgement, his definition of holiness, not our own. I think that sometimes we can get to a place in our mind where we call ourselves holy based upon other people around us. We position ourselves by how others live their salvation out around us, and we can feel like we've attained some level of holiness because we are better than those around us, whereas in reality, we will always and should always use Yeshua as Messiah, the Son of God, and his holiness as the measuring line, in which we will always fall short. We will always fall short of that. So hallelujah. He desires to bring us near to himself. He encourages us, and he says, I will equip you. I will equip you through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can attain that holiness. We can endeavor to be made right, made righteous before the Lord because of the blood of the Lamb. And because of he's going to give us garments washed white in the blood of the Lamb, right? So it's we will be holy because of his work by the Holy Spirit in us. And so I think that sometimes as we're talking about being holy, being made holy, and living a life sanctified to God, and that being the form of worship, I think our hearts being set on living a pure life before the Lord is where it should be. And never giving up when we're sideswiped or get sidetracked by the enemy, and not taking on ourselves, though we may fail, that we are not failures, right? Though we may sin, we are not sinners. I think that's just really important as we're talking about. It's a little bit of a side, it's part and partial of this presentation, because the temptation is to just say, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace, you know, and this worship of the Lord and the beauty of holiness, you know, that's completely accomplished by the blood of Christ. And it's not only accomplished by the blood of Christ, it's accomplished by our desire to live a life purely sanctified for the Lord. We should not continue to sin that grace may abound, but by the renewing of our mind, by the renewing of our mind, taking every thought captive, putting on the armor of God, we actually are able to walk by the Holy Spirit in a place of holiness and purity. This is my heart, and this, I believe this is what Love and Purity's main message is that you are able, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ, to walk a holy life. Don't feel like you shall always be a sinner. Don't internalize that. Don't take that onto yourself and say, this is who I am. I am a sinner. Because that's not how the Lord sees you. The Lord sees you as being perfected, a work of sanctification that he is accomplishing, and he does not fail. He does not fail. We may fail, but he does not fail, and he is the master potter, and he's going to turn us into a vessel for his honor and for his glory. So we're going to end here. I've got a few more verses here that I'll share with us the next time that we get together for my namesake. Just talking about worship and how that's so connected to the greatness of God, right? That's kind of what we've been exploring today. But next week, we'll be exploring how the greatness of God is for his name, the greatness of God, or the things that he has made his name great for, or the reason that I'll just read here, Malachi 1:11. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be made great among the nations. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. So, name shall be great among the nations. We want to just put that out, that it's connected. His name being made great is for his namesake. And it's almost always in reference to the nations and how that relates to Israel and what's going on right now in the Middle East. So blessings to you all. Thank you so much for joining with us. We pray that you will be blessed in your fellowship over the Shabbat. And be looking out for next week. Shalom. This is the voice of the My Beloved podcast. We believe that hearing and obeying the voice of the Bridegroom King leads to the most abundant and joy-filled life. Shalom. Blessings. My Bridegroom, my beloved Lord, Yeshua.